So it's Frank, Pete, and Al here, and we're going to talk about something we just watched. We just saw the first episode of Seth MacFarlane's new space adventure comedy on Fox, The Orville. I actually did not... I feel like I remember hearing about this at a Comic-Con a few years ago.
I agree.
Or a year ago or whatever. I just can't remember the context of it at all.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that it was going to be something they were developing and going, huh, I wonder what that's about, but nothing else. Did anybody else, you guys have any...
I definitely remember hearing about Seth MacFarlane doing a Star Trek parody show like a while back. I definitely remember this being a thing.
I remember hearing about trying to adapt Galaxy Quest as a show, and I'm wondering if that's what this ultimately became.
It definitely feels like it, and I do when I'm thinking back about what I originally heard about the show, it was that yes, it was a Star Trek parody of sorts, and the question is how long can you keep that up? And yeah. Do you even want to keep something like that up? And it's also Seth MacFarlane, so there's a lot of baggage with the name. He's known for a very particular style of comedy, although that's not really that consistent. Like, there's the Family Guys, and then there's A Million Ways to Die in the West, then there's Ted.
There's American Dad, which avoids comedy altogether.
I like American Dad. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about our first thoughts about the first episode. First off, it's... hard to determine whether this is really a comedy. There's definitely jokes in there. There's definitely gags and stuff. There's a comedy element.
It's funny. There are some laugh out loud moments.
Yeah. But it is, I think, overwhelmingly to me anyways, at an adventure show. It's
exactly
fun.
And that's actually, if you listen to the interviews that Seth MacFarlane and the rest of the producers have been giving about it, that's what it is.
That's what they were aiming for.
They weren't aiming for a comedy. But I do feel like slapstick, zany humor is what Fox was selling in the ads.
Yeah, I could. For the few ads I saw coming up to the show, it did seem like it was just going to be like a groan fest of, oh, God, you know, weird, awkward sex with aliens, mocking the genders of various made-up alien races, things like that.
Yeah, with one-note alien races.
Right,
Or one-note goofy planets. It looks like they go to the Hick planet.
Yeah.
Right.
In one of the trailers.
That's not what we got in the first episode.
I think we can agree with that, right?
We definitely didn't get that.
Not what we got.
No.
It's actually a fairly nuanced... I don't want to call it drama. Dramedy?
No, I don't know what to call it. Drama.
I wouldn't call it nuanced either, really.
I would say an adventure comedy. And here's where I think it does stand out. Maybe this tackles somewhere where Pete's going on with the nuance. It feels more realistic than any Star Trek I've seen. It feels like this could be where we're headed in 400 years. You know, when the helmsman is unpacking his bag as he takes the job and smells his boot, that wasn't like, it wasn't a gag. It wasn't super funny. It was kind of amusing, but it was very human.
Yeah.
It seemed like, yeah, okay, we're not going to totally 100% tackle and solve the problems of being organic life forms out in the world. We're going to scratch. We're going to itch. We're going to notice dogs licking themselves on the view screen. And I think that's where the show is strongest for me.
Yeah. What I mean when I say nuanced is, I mean, there seems to be the beginnings of depth in the relationship between the helmsman and the navigator.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You know, you look at that and I see the way the relationships between like Geordi LaForge and Miles O'Brien in Star Trek develop. You know, when you've got these people who are going out to serve the military in a journey, they're going to be serving together in close quarters, meeting for the first time. You don't feel like this is all just setups for jokes.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
This at least has the setup for actual relationships between these characters. Just not to say a romantic relationship. I mean, co-worker relationship.
Yeah. I think that definitely works. I think those two actors actually do have some semblance of chemistry as well.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot. And I feel like, when the helmsman is on the ship with the navigator and they have a little bit of banter, I feel like he works as a character. There were a couple moments when he was by himself or he was with other characters that I'm like, this character kind of got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah. There are definitely moments where the comedy doesn't land.
Yeah.
Where I would say that things are setups for punchlines would be when he meets, when Seth MacFarlane's captain meets the crew. And this is so new to us. We don't even know character names yet. We're just talking about who the actors are and who the role in the ship is. But when he meets the crew, like a lot of them are just like, oh, so what's your race's deal? which felt like a little weird for a captain to be asking people.
Yeah.
Aren't you
legendarily racist?
Which is like, that's such a Seth MacFarlane written joke. Legendarily racist. It's just it has the cadence of a Seth MacFarlane gag, and there's a lot in that, and they're not that amusing. I find the moments where the humor lands is when it's really human, when it's again someone smelling their boot or two people talking in a bunch of coworkers talking about their captain very candidly when he's not in the room.
Yep,
that works. When in the middle of a very stressful situation, you're quipping. That feels like you've broken that fourth wall. You make me feel like your characters are in a show.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's where it doesn't work. And the first episode is very hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's interesting. I think it has potential.
Yeah, there is a clear direction forward for this where it can be very good.
Yeah.
The question is that the path that they go down?
I feel like there's a big, huge, giant thing that I found most of a problem with, like almost from the outset of the episode, and which was I hate the ex-wife dynamic that he has with his ex-wife as his first officer. Like from the moment we got into it and he comes in and finds that she's cheating on him, I'm like, really? We're going with this trope that like, oh no, my wife has to cheat on me for me to get my life to activate or whatever the heck it is. Right. And I'm like, I was almost ready to check out at minute one. The way he sort of brings it up randomly in awkward places, it almost felt worth it when they contacted the enemy ship.
Yeah.
And they started asking him about it. But then that didn't land because all of a sudden it felt like the enemy ship was invested and then it just opened fire on them. I'm like, wait a minute, that ruined the joke. The joke was he was into this and kind of. Yeah.
they haven't figured out the pacing of it.
Yeah. Mm.
I guess. And I felt like that relationship really felt tacked on or forced. It felt very unsatisfactory to me.
I don't know. I get that feeling. The second time watching it, because this was my second time watching it. You guys saw it for the first time just now. I felt like it all came together a lot better after knowing where it goes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And watching the moving pieces work the second time. I get how it worked, how it fit together more the second time.
I mean, that's good.
I think you're right that it is kind of a hackney trope.
Yeah.
That we get a lot, but I think there's enough of a spin to it by the end that it makes it palatable.
I definitely agree with you. It makes it palatable, and I feel like it at least moves away from that trope a little bit. But I still don't like their dynamic at all, and I still feel like it's more to the show's detriment. Like I was almost sitting here, and like if I had any control over the show in a fantasy world where Al made TV decisions, I'd be like, all right, get rid of that, and then.
The tension seemed a little odd. I don't know what you would replace it. I definitely think like as a vehicle of dealing with your relationship with another human being, that's kind of what all these shows are about. They're not really about the characters and the space exploration as much as they are about characters interacting, but I don't know how it'll resolve. I wasn't super impressed with it, including the ending with the, oh, I was doing this for you the entire time.
Yeah, that also felt really...
I don't care. But all right, there are two voiceover things we'd
like
to...
Real quick, before you move over, I move on, I do want to say that if you took that relationship and you made it Picard and Riker, that would be 10 times better.
Yeah, interesting.
If it was just actually Picard and Riker.
If you watch Picard and Riker, you realize that they used to be married. All right.
Well, maybe.
I would love that.
Maybe. So there are two voiceover things we definitely want to bring up. We'll end on that. But let's talk very briefly, highbrow for a second, on genre. So right now on our fan club, facebook.com/group/nonbro, we're in a big heated debate about Star Wars and how... All these Star Wars stories were supposed to be, or allegedly going to be, totally different from one another in some respect, that they were going to get fresh voices and fresh opinions. And recent casting decisions kind of make it seem like that's in question.
Hmm.
And the question I put forward in the fan club and to all of you listening is, are we looking for new voices in the IP? Or are we looking for new voices in the genre of the space opera? I'm going to connect this up right now with the Orville and Star Trek. Clearly, Orville is modeled heavily on Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't get that.
Yeah. but what it's doing is it's taking its own direction because it's dealing with the subgenre of, I guess, what is it? Organized space exploration sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Is this the good way of moving forward? Is this an interesting way of moving forward? Is this just, or did this fall flat to you? Did this seem like it was just a corny parody?
Oh, no. I didn't feel like, I'm glad it wasn't a straight parody. I feel like it was an action-adventure show that took a lot from both the TOS and TNG of Star Trek. And I felt like it was very much its own thing, and I liked the direction that it went. I feel like you can kind of do an adventure comedy and, like, you know, have itching and, you know, like smelling our shoes in space.
I don't know. I like this. It feels almost like somebody who wanted to write their own lighthearted Star Trek, but
yeah,
was not allowed to play in the Federation sandbox by Paramount.
I think that's what I was awkwardly going for. Like, I think by being limited and not being able to actually take characters, reboot them, and make them into parody characters, you actually have more creative freedom and you could do something interesting. This is what I would have wanted to see. This was not only wasn't this a Star Trek parody, but this wasn't even a Galaxy Quest TV show.
No.
And I like that because I love Galaxy Quest, and I think this is pretty good. I might even love it one day.
Yeah.
But it had the ability of being something new and different. This is what I would have liked to have seen from, theoretically, a Ghostbusters reboot. Mm. I would have liked to have seen, you know, people busting ghosts without necessarily dealing, without being slaves to the franchise or the IP. That's what feels weird about a lot of these reboots that are coming out recently.
I get that, but it actually does concern me a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Because I wonder if this limits the Orville's potential going forward, because it's so close to Star Trek. Can it really develop an identity of its own that the public will be able to differentiate?
I think so. I think it could.
I'm hoping.
I'm hoping
it's good enough to do that.
Yeah.
It has to be very good on its own.
I definitely hope it's good. It would be fun to see a nice adventure comedy. Mm-hmm. So I said we were going to end on this. We have two voiceover talents that we definitely want to bring up. One that we are confirmed on.
Yes.
Oh, one of the blob creatures.
There's a blob creature
that the captain
wants. It's got a name. I forget what it is.
Yeah, and it was delightful to hear Norm MacDonald coming out of that the thing. And yeah, it was pretty amusing. I enjoyed it. Yeah. But the other thing is a debate. I don't know if we have an answer for it. Pete, we don't have an answer, do we?
Well, we've got an official answer, I think.
So the voice of the android.
There is an android. I forget the name of the
Isaac,
race.
Isaac.
The character is called Isaac.
Yeah.
But he represents it's like an android artificial life form race.
Right.
And he is credited as Mark Jackson.
Right.
Who is a somewhat established actor. He's been in a few other things before.
So the question is,
Lordy, does he sound like Brent Spiner?
Right. So what we don't know, and we have to do a little bit more research on this, we'll probably make it, it's probably going to be very apparent.
Well, I've done a little bit of research on this.
All right.
And the actor, Mark Jackson, is the only actor credited for Isaac. There is absolutely no other attribution, and they're saying he plays Isaac.
His voice sounds so much like Brent, it's really hard to tell. And the actor you're talking about has a significant British accent.
Yeah. I mean, a trained actor can easily suppress their accent and even do impressions if they want. But Isaac doesn't always sound to me like Lieutenant Commander Data. He does always sound like Brent Spiner.
I'll agree. Yeah.
I mean, Brent Spiner had a definite
close
voice.
Yeah.
He did for Data.
I think we've got a
Michael Jackson appearing on The Simpsons.
Oh, maybe.
Deal here. I suspect, even if it wasn't specifically laid out in his contract, which it probably was, I suspect Paramount would be none too happy if he were to reprise a role as a robotic type creature on another essentially Star Trek.
I definitely agree with that. I believe so. But keep in mind, I believe the Michael Jackson appearing on The Simpsons has since been debunked as it wasn't actually Michael Jackson.
No.
It was a voiceover person.
No.
Has it been reversed?
It has been reversed and confirmed.
Oh my Lord. It's this rabbit hole.
It'll never end. It'll never end.
It keeps getting deeper. All right, so I will definitely give this a second episode. I hope maybe you guys will too.
Oh, I'll definitely give it a second episode.
And of course, rate and review this podcast if you like more very short hot takes on TV shows. Probably have a stronger ending next time. But whatever. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.